Last week, Seattle's leaders rejected a proposed tax on big businesses, a head tax on every employee, with the money going to pay for homeless services. But what's driving the homelessness crisis isn't a lack of money, it's more a lack of communication, according to the Puget Sound Business Journal. The journal finds that Seattle spends four times more on services for the homeless than it would cost to house people. Editor-in-Chief Emily Parkhurst, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Are you talking about what Seattle's mayor called the homeless industrial complex here?
Yeah, to a certain extent we are. We set out to measure essentially the homeless economy. How much as a community are we really spending on this issue? And that goes far beyond the city budget, the county budget. We wanted to know how much are the nonprofits spending on this? How much is the police service spending on this? And so we really wanted this comprehensive look because we feel like measuring this amount of money is really going to allow us to make better decisions in the future as a community about how we are spending this money.
So you're not just talking about city or King County agencies, but you mentioned, for example, policing. So are you also getting into follow-on effects of, in this case, homelessness?
Follow-on effects. You know, one of the things that we found particularly frustrating in trying to report this out is that a lot of the agencies don't track this. And the police force is a prime example of that. You know, of course, you see it all the time. They're responding constantly to the homelessness crisis. But you don't know, you can't find out exactly how much the police force is spending on this. For instance, we took a look at the number of calls to the Union Gospel Mission, which is the number one 911 call in the city. So they average 9 police calls a day. That does not include EMS or the fire department. That only is the police force. And so that's more than one full-time police officer dedicated just to the Union Gospel Mission every day.
Yeah, and then you have EMTs and emergency rooms and on and on. This is a big topic of debate in Seattle. Are you, through this reporting, Emily, are you saying the Journal has found that the city needs no more money to get most homeless people into stable housing?
Well, I think if you look at that total, $1 billion, it's really a staggering number. And when we are sort of outlining it in the journal, we split it out by the different categories, healthcare. So you think about all the homeless folks who end up in the emergency room and how much as a community are we spending on that. So when you look at the money that's being spent to essentially keep these people living on the street, it's a staggering amount. And if that amount of money was then spent trying to get them homes, the average cost we figured to house these people, both build affordable housing for every single one of the people that's living on the street right now, and the cost of providing them the services, we'd have paid for it in 3.5 years.
So is the Puget Sound Business Journal arguing that Seattle and King County need no more taxes to pay for homeless services, or is that going too far?
You know, I'm not gonna say quite that far, Bill. But what I will say is that there's a lot of money being spent on this already by these organizations, and a lot of it is tax. It's all taxpayer money, right? In terms of what the city is spending on the police force, on the justice system, on the public defenders, on the prosecutors. That's the city, the county, the state. So that money is already being spent. And if these folks weren't homeless, chances are they wouldn't be using these resources and they could be allocated elsewhere.
Okay, so let's talk about some solutions. First, I want us to set up the problem. You find that city agencies and nonprofits don't always talk to each other. Can you give us a shining example of the inefficiency in how Seattle and King County are going after homelessness?
So many inefficiencies. In terms of a shining example, the nonprofits, I think that there's probably some overlap there, and the city is working really hard to try and eliminate some of that overlap with some new programs that they have. But one of the things that we found when we were reporting this out is we'd do something like call King County Behavioral Health Services, ask them how much are you actually spending on homelessness, and they're able to sort of pull out certain budget lines that they know are either primarily or majority is dedicated to homelessness, then we'd go through their budget and find some other things, call them up and say, hey, what about these? And they'd say, oh, yeah, that too. So nobody's really, tracking this in any kind of meaningful way. The police force doesn't track it at all. So there's no way to know how many man hours they're spending on that. And so there's nobody's talking to each other as a result because there's no standardized way for them to communicate.
Is there a city that's proving that this can be done right?
You know,
they're tracking. They're efficient. They've got all they're going after homelessness in a different way than Seattle.
You know, what we found were there's some really good examples of really effective programs that drastically reduce the cost. And, you know, there was a report that came out last year called the Poppy Report that really dug into some solutions and some ways forward that are going to be less expensive and more effective. And a lot of those are tracking programs to basically keep track of how much we're spending. Salt Lake City has done this really well. They have a list of folks, homeless folks, usually chronically homeless people, and they'll track them. And that means that the nonprofit that's working with that person knows if that person ends up in jail or ends up in the ER. And that will allow them to continue the services for that person when they're in the ER, or perhaps prevent them from going there in the first place.
Well, what are the good reasons, if any, that we don't track people now? Is it inertia? Is it politics? Is it privacy concerns?
I think it's probably a combination of all of those, which sounds a little bit like brushing it off. But I think that there's a lot of things. First off, setting up a standardized tracking system across multiple agencies, across, you know, multiple governments, the state, and then getting nonprofits to buy into that, you know, anybody who's ever tried to do that just in your local office, it's a headache. You know, imagine trying to do it across, you know, agencies. Does that
Well, let's say in Seattle, King County, we have Seattle has a homeless czar. King County's got a Project Home type of organization, right? Aren't there people doing this?
Yeah, probably too many of them. You know, and I think you've got a lot of people in charge, right? And who is actually in charge? Who is making sure that, you know, the service organizations that are working with these folks are being held accountable? You know, so there's a lot of heads on this. And I think that that's part of the issue. You need one group. And the city and the county have really tried to do that with this all home plan, where they've really dug into trying to find more efficiencies in this. But the tracking system is really a hard thing to do.
Why?
It can also be political. You know, if you think about it, say the police force starts tracking this and they find year over year that spending on homelessness goes up. And they're going to be then, perhaps some folks might say, hey, look, the police force is targeting homeless people for arrests. Say the number of arrests goes up, you know, then they're going to come under some political criticism for that. And maybe that's fair, maybe it's not, but they're not, you know, inclined to make that information available if they're going to get punished for it.
Okay. So, and this is probably multiplied 100 times or 1,000 times across the bureaucracy. Does the homeless industrial complex, as Mayor Tim Burgess once said, he bought into that label. Does the bureaucracy push back against the city? For example, the city says that it's going to make nonprofits prove they're effective if they want any money. Is that clear who's effective? And is that clear to everybody? And is the bureaucracy going to cooperate in that?
It's a good question. Well, and to be clear, you know, 100% of the money that the nonprofits are getting is not necessarily correlated with the tracking system.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's only a chunk of what they get from the city that is going to be tied into what I would call results-based work. And basically, these are shelter programs that have to prove that instead of keeping people in these short-term shelters, they're trying to find long-term solutions for them. And they're going to be tracked and next year when the money is being handed out, it'll be handed out to the organizations that are more successful in that. And if you talk to a lot of these nonprofit orgs, they basically say that oversimplifies it. You know, there's things like transitional housing. Some people are not ready to go straight into an apartment and live by themselves. They can't. You know, they don't have the skills for whatever reason. They haven't had the mental health treatment or the substance abuse treatment that they need. And so they can't do that. And so they're sort of feeling like this is too much. And then the city's feeling like maybe it's not quite enough. So maybe we're at that balance. We'll have to wait and see next year to see how well they are able to track this.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that these are well-intentioned agencies. Here I'm calling them the bureaucracy, not as a pejorative, but just as a way of getting at that this is really hard, as is documented in the Puget Sound Business Journal. And we've been talking with Emily Parkhurst, editor-in-chief. Emily, let's keep tracking this and hope you come back in soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. It's KUOW's The Record.